This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and a warm welcome to this week's edition of the Sky Blues Extra podcast in association with the Sky Blue Tavern. It's the gruesome twosome back behind the wheel this week. Of course, it's me, Dean Atkinson, and Ross Cooper. Lovely to have you with me, Ross.
Oh, it's great. The dream duo is back.
Give the people what they want. That's what I keep saying to Wardy and the gang, and here we are. We've been thrown back. On this week of all weeks, by the way.
Well yeah, exactly. And I was obviously up in Newcastle for a stag do, and I had commentary fans coming up and going over, you're from the Sky Blues Extra podcast. So you and Dino doing the pod? I said, yeah, it's your lucky day. Honestly, tomorrow.
Well, the stars have aligned.
They're aligned. So hopefully that fan who I bumped into in Newcastle, I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Big shout out to that person. Did you get their name?
There was quite a few mini beers, you know. Yeah. But no, he's a sound guy and he said he's a big fan of the podcast. So yeah, no, big shout out to that guy.
That's lovely to hear. Now, it's been a chaotic week, and I'm not just talking about the PUSB hashtag on Twitter. So much has seemed to happen, hasn't it? And everyone seems to be utterly depressed about the whole sorry situation at the moment. But we'll do our best here on the podcast to dissect as much as we can. So strap yourselves in. This could be a long one, or it might also be a very short one, depending on if we get bored talking about it. Ross, where would you like to start? Because I've got some bullet points of, you know, things we need to talk about this evening. So we can go in any order you like. So here you go. Take your pick. So we go with the match reviews for Preston and Norwich, which, you know, I'm already annoyed at certain situations in both those games.
Yeah.
We can talk about the transfer window shutting and obviously the state of the squad. We can also talk about the club update that was released by Dave Boddy and Co. in the week. Or we can talk about West Brom on Saturday, which I think we'll leave to the end. It's natural, isn't it, to sort of leave it on to the end. So how do you want to do this?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like you said, so I feel like a lot of these things intertwine.
They're all depressing.
But they all link, you know, in some way. You know, I feel like, maybe we start with, you know, it's the first podcast since we've finally had a home game.
Okay.
You know, maybe we'll start with Wednesday night.
All right, let's start with that then. Preston at the CBS, first home game of the season, much anticipated first home game of the season. I don't think anybody anticipated the lineup though, Ross. Four changes, Wilson in, Eccles, Waghorn and Doyle. Surprising?
Well, yeah, I was feeling really I was feeling pretty good for the game, to be fair. And I was in Pizza Hut by the arena, and I was just about to go to the refillable drinks, and then I genuinely almost dropped my glass. I was
what was the drink of choice?
Pepsi Max Lime.
Oh, right. Lime. Oh, they got one of those cool ones where you can put different flavours in. Oh, they're really up in the ante at pizza, aren't they?
They are. And it was a bit of a rush, actually, to be fair, to then get through the turnstile in time. But I digress. And basically, the team came out. I was as shocked as probably everybody was. The only way I can describe it is sometimes with yourself and other mates with Cough fans, I like will send jokey sort of lineup, sort of thinking, you know, and I love to sort of say, oh, what would your reaction be if this is the lineup? And I'll put up a lineup which I know it would never be, but it would be like something players who you go, what? And I do not kid you, the lineup which I saw was literally one of like the bantery lineups that I send round. Waghorn starting, would never have thought that.
Well, it's mad because Joey Taylor did the same thing to me on Twitter. He's like, oh, Wilson, Eccles, Dolan, Waghorn all starting tonight. I was like, come on, mate. Come off it.
And there we were. It was, the team was it was bizarre, wasn't it? Again, this will go into the Norwich thing as well, but like, I find it even more bizarre when, after the Hull game, when it was about like, right, it's now about building momentum because we've been playing one game every 2 weeks, but now we've actually got a game 3 days later. Here we go. We can build up some momentum, and we build momentum as Robins keep telling us by playing matches. So then when I saw the four changes, I was taken aback because I just thought that just flies in the face of the whole idea of playing games and building momentum.
And we know Hamer obviously was disciplinary reasons. It was, you know, the reason why he wasn't playing was because of that. And, you know, from what we hear, Dabo was also disciplinary reasons why he didn't start as well. So, you know,
what disciplinary reasons as in what, on the pitch, just sort of yellow cards or
I think
just...
it was more down to the fact that there was a conversation had after the game. Wasn't really happy with Dabo's performance on Saturday, which, to be fair, he had a point. Robins,
what, after the whole game?
Yeah. So yeah. I don't begrudge Mark Robins doing that. But on the same hand, we need to get points on the board. You play your best team and Dabo's part of that. And Hamer, for, you know, he's one of our best players. So he has to play, regardless of what's happened.
Especially
at home.
Exactly. At home, where you want to sort of take the game to the opposition. To me, I wasn't surprised that Hamer didn't come back in because, you know, by all accounts, Adlam played all right against Hull. And I thought, well, he's only just coming back. That one, I didn't expect him to start, to be fair. Was obviously not expecting Waghorn to start. You know, when, you know, Palmer had started and played an hour against Hull, you're thinking, again, you know, and with encouraging signs. And again, that, you know, you'd think, okay, let's get more minutes in him. Eccles, again, that had me scratching the head. And then Doyle as well. You know, that was a big
shock, I think, because of how well Panzo's, you know, bedded himself into this team.
Well, exactly. And I was looking forward to seeing him. Panzo, and you know, we'll get on to sort of individuals in the Preston game, but I didn't think Doyle did, you know, too badly. He's obviously a young lad and you can see that. The lineup just sapped, I think, a lot of people's excitement for sort of hope for the game, because you're suddenly thinking
it wasn't our strongest team off the bat.
You know, like you say, you want to play your strongest team to pick up the points, and there's no way anyone can say
That was the strongest team.
Because, you know, Waghorn was literally, you know, basically frozen out at the end of last season. Couldn't get on, couldn't get a game off the bench because, you know, his performances weren't up to standard. Then to see him starting, I was just, my mind was blown.
In that 10 role again as well, because he's played in that role 5 or 6 times last season. And like you said, didn't cut the mustard at all. He just hasn't got the minerals for me in that position. He lacks energy. He lacks intelligence, really. You've got to be a certain level of intelligence in that 10 role. You've got to see the next pass before the ball comes to you. You've got to see the movement before
you need to see the collision, you know, before anticipate the hit. You need to be alive. And that number 10 position is key to how we play with it. Like, we need that energy. And he hasn't got that same energy that.
To be fair, for the one time he did show it, he hit the bar.
Yeah.
When he pushed forward and showed a little bit more of intent, but you've got to do it over and over and over again.
But everything's just, everything I felt, there was a lot more worse performances, I thought, than him, to be fair. But the thing that frustrated me the most there was, my end of the first half. There was one where he's in the box. I'm thinking, you got a good chance here. And he literally was doing nothing. All he was waiting for was someone to tackle him so he could go down.
Yeah.
He just wanted to go down for a penalty. And then because he's so slow, the defender was literally able just to run alongside him, take the ball and run out. I thought, what are we doing? You know, like, why are you not? Why is your first thought, I'm going to wait for the collision here and try and get a penalty rather than put a cross in or get a shot off or something? It was, I don't know, I felt really buzzing actually for the game because I sort of just felt like, you know, the stars were aligning, Preston a bit of a bogey side, they hadn't conceded a goal. I thought, well, you know, it's all there for us. You know, if we played a team I'd expected to go out there and create, you know, the first CBS moment of the season and pick up 3 points. But alas, that did not happen.
What did you think to Mark Robins' comments about the crowd? Because I thought they're a little bit uncalled for, but also on the flip side, I felt like the crowd were nervous after 10 minutes and that probably echoed on the pitch. And that's probably why Mark Robins made those comments.
So my question would be, because I missed the first 5 minutes because trying to get in because of the turnstiles, that was another farce, you know, they're not being opened up early enough. So just trying to get in was a joke. So I don't know whether there was a ceasefire chant. Was there anything in the first 5 minutes?
No, definitely
a negative
not.
Chant?
No, there was no negative chance. Okay. With the first 20 minutes, I would say, then the groan started to happen. And then the only first ceasefire out chant, I was block 17, so towards the corner, the Naughty Boys corner. And the first CC out chant I heard was in the second half. The song about the Wasp, the Council, the Villa, and the CC. But that only came maybe when Preston had a bit more of a foothold of that barrage after half time that we gave them. That's the only time I can remember it like happening.
Yeah, it was a bizarre comment when I heard it on the way back. I thought, wow, we've basically got 18,000 home fans who've been starved of football, frustrated, as Robins is, as the players are. 18,000 on a Wednesday night. And then the comment is about, well, that needs to stop, you know. And I know Robins hates, you know, the negative. Like, I remember the only other time he had a real pop was after Burton, your first year back in League One. And there was a load of, like, CSU out chants around him in the dugout. And he came out and he did have a proper pop and said, look, this is not helpful. And I agree. It never helps on the pitch, but that's why I wanted to ask if I missed something in the first 5 minutes, because from my experience from Wednesday night, there was an anxiety there. I agree. Like, I think everyone was so anxious because we're chasing games, we're chasing points, but there's moans and groans at every single game up and down the country. You know, if every manager came out and sort of, yeah, we're behind him. That's why there's record seasons, you know, and some of the comments of like, we need to stick together. It's like, well, we are. It was 13,500 season ticket holders because we back you. You're like our best manager. We love you. We want to support you. We want to support the team. But the team haven't delivered. And we could talk about all the off the pitch issues, but the team hasn't delivered yet, you know.
I don't think it was as bad as he made out in regards to the crowd.
I don't think it was. I agree.
There were the classic moans and groans, but that's because we're 1-0 down and we didn't even look like we were going to get back in the match.
Yeah.
And it's inevitable that's going to happen with the moans and groans.
Well, he said it, you know, in his sort of talking about how good the fans were from Norwich, he said, you know, Wednesday was a little bit flat. But I felt like it's flat because everyone's sort of anxious. So we were waiting to, I thought we were going to come out the traps and start, you know, really quick and then get us going, you know. Yeah. But I thought it was the complete opposite. I thought.
It felt slow, didn't it?
I thought it drained everybody. It drained any of that anticipation, nervousness, anxiety, all of that. Just sort of got, the excitement got sapped out, leaving only that sort of constant nervousness of, you know, and I thought the first half was pretty dire. I was waiting for them to score. It just, without them being anything other, you know, than just ordinary, it just felt, then we had a little spell 10 minutes before half time and Bidwell had a couple of chances. Now, if one of those goes in, I think it'd settle everybody down, the players, the crowd.
Was there a sense of expectation there because of how good we have been at home?
I think so. I think there was. I think Preston are a dodgy team. We've got a terrible record against them. That didn't help. But also our home form, I don't know, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because I think on the perception is, yeah, our home form last year was really good.
Yeah,
which it was to start with.
Is it clouded? Is the view clouded of how we ended the season pretty poorly at home, to be fair?
Yeah, I think I saw a stat. I don't want to make it up, but it was pretty bad in terms of like the amount of home wins from our last 20 home games. Only won four. Or
it's nine wins in 40.
Nine wins in 40.
If we take into account. No, last season.
Last season, right.
I hate when people say like they bring last season stats into this season because it's, you know, chalk and cheese, really. But it's the same team. It's the same nucleus of the team. Not a lot of teams around us have really strengthened this season. So you kind of have to take into account last season's form, really.
Of course you do, and especially the home form, I think, because you know, if you look back at the last home games, defeat to Huddersfield, defeat to Bournemouth before that, draws, you know, failing to get those wins against Blackburn and things. So the home, that fortress that we created with six wins on the bounce, like you say, I think that sort of papers over some of the cracks in terms of what the actual home form was actually like, you know, especially towards the back end of last season. So, yeah, some of his comments were a bit odd. And I don't like we don't want to start creating a us and them vibe, like any sort of divide again. You know, Robbins has worked so hard, and the fans,
to get that out,
to be unified, you know, and be like last season, closer than you'd ever believe. Like literally, we'd play poorly occasionally, but we were fully behind the team. And obviously with everything, you know, beyond our control and Robbins' control, has created this frustration. And I do agree with him. We don't want the frustration to be taken out on the players or him. But I didn't necessarily think it was. I thought the frustrations were just on that game within that 90 minutes. Poor performances. I think that was the frustration, really.
Yeah, and you know, for me, I don't really want to see like a sexy brand of football at the moment. I just want to see a bit of intent. I want to see a bit of fight, desire, determination. I just don't think we got that. And I think it's down to the game plan, Ross, for me. I said it to you after the game. Why are we throwing long balls into corners when we're playing against three centre-halves of 6'4", 6'3", and 6'3"? No wonder Matty Godden was, you know, on a wanted poster, missing persons poster, sorry, at the end of that game, because he's got no chance playing up against that. And then those poor tactics, you know, we can see that from the stands, and that's where the moans and groans come about. And I don't want to see that. It kind of felt quite negative in a way of going against a Preston side who, for all intents and purposes, are not very good.
No, and I was shocked that they hadn't conceded. Do you know what I mean? I didn't look at them and go, oh wow, they're like we. I thought they're halfway through the second half. We'd had those chances just before half time.
We did hit the bar three times in that game,
and I thought, well, this game's there. This game is really there to win, you know, like right now. We can go and win this game. And obviously, we sort of didn't. And that sort of belief, like we didn't play to our strengths at all. Like you say, you know, like you say, long balls, Godden sort of in a graveyard shift, you know, like you say, what's he supposed to do? So then as a result, he then doesn't have a good game because he's not been involved. Vic, I didn't think played...
He hasn't played well for the past three games. Let's be frank about it. And it's probably got something to do with the transfer window, which we'll get into.
Yeah. But I just thought, I thought Bidwell, I sort of trusted him. There's only a couple of people I felt like I actually
That left side did look so much stronger. I thought Doyle and Bidwell linked really well.
Yeah. And I think they could create a decent understanding. But I just felt like, last season, I felt comfortable. Like, you knew what we were going to do defensively with, you know, if it was Clark Soldier or Higham, you knew. And yes, we could make the odd mistake, but you sort of, there'll be situations in the game where you'd be thinking, we're going to deal with that. I just felt like every time the ball came, maybe it's just this anxiety about the fact that we're bottom and we're desperate for points, sort of emphasizes it. But I just kept thinking, we look like we're about to, like, make a mistake at any moment. We could do something kamikaze here.
No confidence in anyone else in the team. The players seem to like that. They lack confidence in the defensive line, which then push onto everybody else, if you understand what I'm saying there. It's
panicky. My biggest takeaway of that first half was Allen and Sheaf midfield was just non-existent. And it was very, like, what we wanted is someone who, when the ball comes to the midfield, they'll put the foot in it, turn around, and, you know, like a Liam Kelly or someone who actually would just slow it down and show a bit of composure. And I was disappointed with Allen because there were so many times the ball would come to him and it felt like Sunday league thing where he just like turn and
just kick it, get it out of his feet straight away. Yeah. You know, what are you doing? Get a touch.
And you're a better player and you're a good player. I know you're capable of being able to take a touch, turn. So that was a big problem. And I felt like how many times in that first half we'd get a half decent sort of possession. It felt like everything was so desperate. Like we were trying so too hard with every pass and Waghorn would point to be like, this is where I want it. Then he would go to make the run, stop, the ball would get played and he just didn't run. And then it was like, everything was behind.
You know, no cohesion there. Between there was no, any, it was like, players. Yeah.
We looked like a team who had never played together before.
It was so frustrating. And for me, like, I know we didn't play well, but I don't think it was an overall bad performance. It was more of a bad result, I think, in the grand scheme of things. You know, we did have periods of the game where we were sort of at our best, but then that's not enough. And, you know, I spent so much of last season saying that we were having huge chunks of the game, but there was 10 and 15 minute spells where we just wasn't at the races last season. And this year, it's the complete opposite. It's like we're having 10 minute spells or 15 minute spells where we're in the ascendancy, but then for the next 60, 70 minutes or however it works out, we're just not in the game at all. And that's the frustrating thing. We're like, we've done role reversal. Is that down to formation? Have we been found out? Are we lacking the people in the right positions to, you know, to utilize that game plan? I don't know. It's questions for Robbins to answer and for us to ask, basically.
Yeah, I agree, completely agree. But the one thing that stayed consistent is that we still, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot, you know, defensively. Like last year, we, like you say, we'd dominate teams. And then for that little lull when we wouldn't be at it, we'd end up doing some horrendous mistake they'd score. And the Preston goal was, again, how many times did we want to give the ball back to them? Dabo with a terrible header out to there.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, it just, it was, again, we defended the first one, goes back out. We defend the second one, you think, okay, get it out. And we just kept giving them chance after chance. It was all then so desperate. Everyone was at, that's when you know defensively you're not quite in shape, when everyone's sliding around trying to make these last ditch blocks.
Desperation, isn't it?
Desperation. I genuinely think Bidwell did well. I think Ben Wilson, he man of the match for me, which is also alarming.
Yeah, two great saves.
When you've lost one at home and your goalkeeper's man of the match. He did very well. Nothing he could do about the goal, but he made some great saves, kept us in it. Potentially very lucky to stay on the pitch. Initially in real time at the time, I was worried.
He's got to go, But on, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and looking back at the replays, the guy died.
But I mean, that would have been, imagine that though.
Oh yeah, that'd be, you know, Robin's talking about the groans.
Yeah.
When we had 11 players, imagine if it was 10.
Well, but then Simon Moore, who's just been dropped, he'd then have to come back on. And lo and behold, we'd have ended up losing the game. So, you know, and then Ben Wilson's out for out. Do you know what I mean? So that was a big moment. And it felt like we got away with one there at the time. But we didn't capitalize. We didn't capitalize on that little spell we had when Bidwell had that shot, which I thought, genuinely thought was like, didn't know how that didn't get in the far corner. Mm-hmm. And then that header where he sort of, you know, the keeper saved it.
Doyle had that strike from outside the box. So there was forced a good save.
That was the flurry. That was that 10-minute spell that you talked about. And you thought, okay, well, we finished the half the better side. Can we now get in there? Robbins, do one of his speeches, calm everyone down, and then push on, attacking the corner.
Needed you in there, mate. Oh. Imagine a speech from you.
Mate, I'd have got them back, music on, everything. But it was just didn't materialise. And the second half just felt very panicky and pedestrian. You know, I never felt like we were going, right, you know what, we're grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck now. You know, like Preston looked so ordinary to me, just like, but they had 11 players who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they
like,
had they a game plan and they knew it. Yeah, and they, you know, went down to a tee. You can see how they celebrated at the end of the game.
Oh, infuriating. Like, and just so frustrating because they came and, like you say, they just put bodies in the line. They held their positions. One thing that we always do is I feel like we give up so many, we make a lot of unforced errors.
Yeah.
Whereas teams like Preston, they don't. Like, we could have scored against them. We just probably deserve to get a goal.
But also, if they do make an error, we don't capitalize on
that. No,
we
don't. Well, it's that. It's a, yeah. Teams don't make many errors against us. Not, but if they do, we don't capitalize. So it's like a double-edged sword, isn't it, really? But it was a frustrating game. Robin's
certainly falling on our swords, aren't we, at the moment?
The frustration, we are. I thought the subs, again, that was the frustration, the goal coming after. I thought Palmer looked good. I thought he came on, and I thought he looked dangerous.
Showed a bit of grit as well, getting in their face, and that's something that we've lacked a bit of fight, haven't we? He's a big fella. He's a strong fella as well.
It's big, big guy. He's got that energy, though. Like, he's got that sort of quick... He looks quite dangerous. But again, Tavares and that, way too late in the game. Way too late for that sort of injection of energy.
89th minute for Fabio Tavares. Can I just remind you, everybody, that Preston scored in the 73rd minute. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing with that sub? What's the point? He's got to be on... Give the team 5 minutes after that goal goes in. Sort yourselves out. Okay, that doesn't come. Let's get Fabio on there. He's at least got 12 minutes then at that point to get himself into the game and potentially, you know, change things. But
to me, get your bingo cards ready. I'm a bit done, mate, with the back five.
This could be the third of the season, that is.
Yeah. I'm a bit done with the back five.
We've had more duns from you than we've got points. Yeah.
That's not good. But I am, because against Sunderland, I thought Robbins was great because we went at back four quite early in the second half. You know, he made the change. It was like, and in preseason, I'd seen it. We'd been working on this, what felt like a proper plan B, this 4-2-3-1, whatever. But again, we go to a back four against Preston in like the 80-something minute. And it was so obvious that, you know, didn't think Echo was at a great game. The outlet wasn't there. I think Bidwell in the second half, Doyle played a really good ball over to him and he was in space in that left wing back slot and he couldn't beat the first man. But it just, everything's so narrow with that formation. I felt like we needed to go to a back four earlier, put Vic on the left, get Tavares on the right like he did, you know, against Sunderland and get Palmer in that hole just to do something different because against Sunderland, it worked. We were able, but I guess the frustration thing then comes in is that the one centre-back you want in a back four isn't with us anymore.
Yeah, that is frustrating. And it's, you know, it's tough to see who would play in a back four, really. You know, we did a back four against Norwich and McFadden and Doyle were very exposed in the centre of there. There was a real lack of communication, really, between the both of them. So, yeah, it's strange to see how we go into that back four and who do we, you know, utilise in what position. It's just all a bit... All a bit down, isn't it? Really,
it is.
If you wasn't depressed before, you're going to be depressed after listening to this. It's Dean and Ross, the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
And then obviously the next day was deadline day. So then the other thing was, I thought, okay, well, look, we have to replace Hartman. And I'd said it. I thought if we don't sign a centre back, we're in big trouble.
We were just waiting for the tweet, weren't we? Was it going to be a Chinese? Was it going to be an Indian pizza that the media staff were getting in?
But instead,
instead we got a video from Tom Grennan and a no activity for the Sky Blues. That concludes the activity. So honestly, it's just,
like I say,
it really sapped the energy that I had.
Yeah, I agree. I was just thinking, if we'd kept Haim, right, and I've thought about this loads since, and we'd kept the big three, you'd go, well, we've preserved the status quo of the side. We've not lost any of them. We've brought in Palmer, so we have got an extra camp. So that's an improvement. The areas that actually, for me, I think this window hasn't been good. Now, people were saying, I see it on Twitter, we've kept the big three. And I agree. It's amazing. I'm delighted. But we haven't replaced Mattson. We thought we did, but he's now gone back. So we literally haven't got Adaramola anymore. You know, no one asked Robbins about that. I've not seen him say anything about that post-Norwich.
Yeah, what are the journalists doing there, by the way? They've got to question every single thing that happens.
And that's the frustrating thing. So then obviously Panzo and Doyle come in and you think, okay, well, that's good. We've got better depth because that's what Robbins was saying. He says we wanted more defensive depth options. So I thought, okay, Clark Salt has been adequately replaced by two players. But Mattson hasn't. So we've literally only got Bidwell now. Josh Reid is second choice left wing back. And then, so we brought in Palmer. You go, okay, cool. And if O'Hare was fit, then you'd be thinking, okay, you'd probably see the options. But Higham going, honestly, I cannot.
And they know Liam Kelly's out for a long period. So yeah, he hasn't been replaced by, you know, seemingly nobody.
Well,
Hamer's disciplinary record.
I said to you, whether Hamer stays or goes, after the Stoke game, final day of last season, I was like, whether Hamer stays or goes, we need a midfielder regardless.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that. So overall, I think the window, like, of course, the big positive is that we've kept the big three players. And you'd like to think that you don't become... My heart says, surely we can't go from being a team who, on their day, we could beat anyone last year and felt confident that we could. Surely, keeping literally everyone apart from maybe literally Mattson, surely we can't go from being that good to then being literally, you know, 100%
bottom
relegation
of the table.
Fodder.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I sort of look at it and go, well, perhaps, you know, perhaps actually the players that we've got, the big three, maybe aren't quite as good as we all necessarily think compared to, you know, there's other good players in the Championship as well. You know, maybe they're not going to hit as high a standard as last year. We then haven't got any left wing back options now. So we've actually got less depth. And then Higham going was just deflating because I have so much time for Higham. And I just, there's a lot of sentiment with him, you know, from League Two coming all the way up. And I genuinely thought he was like my next captain. Do you know what I mean? In my mind, I was like, I want him to be captain, leading the team out. You know, if after Kelly and Fads go, probably end of the season. And I genuinely thought he could be with us for 7, 8, 9 seasons. I really did. So that was a blow, a real blow to see him go because Rose looks not confident at the moment.
Does not gather races, does he at all? And your point about the big three, I think most people would have said, you know, it would have been a successful window if we'd kept the big three, which we have. But that's the success would have been on the basis that we at least make some investment in the team. We've made zero.
Or you sell one and you spread it. And I've said this.
You know, that is a possibility. We had options to sell any one of the three at various points. Don't believe a word of Dave Boddy's what's come out of his mouth saying we received no offers. We received offers. There's no doubt about it for those players. Now, whether they didn't hit the valuation, I don't care about that. They're going to be near or nearabouts the valuation. And therefore, if you take the 9.5 million that was offered for O'Hare, the 12 million that was offered for Vic, the 8.5 million that was offered for Hamer, if you take those, you can buy 4 or 5 really, really good players at Championship level, which bolsters the whole team. Now, for me, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Looking back now on this transfer window, we should have sold one of them. One of them, because it just then we can utilize that money across the whole of the squad by not accepting any of those offers. In my mind, I'm thinking, well, the club feels like they've got enough money to invest regardless of getting some funds in for one of those players. But that never materialized. Now, did that change because of the pitch situation? Potentially.
That's a baffling thing, isn't it?
But you're not telling me that they've lost £1 million in revenue over 3 Saturdays. Surely we don't make that much money on a Saturday.
No, my always thing is, surely, I don't understand how, you know, I've seen people saying on the forums and that how we're absolutely desperate for the cash, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking about, if we were that desperate for the cash, how are we in a position to look really robust and stubborn and say, no, we're not accepting these bids for O'Hare, we, you know, until you meet the valuation? That would suggest that financially, you know, we don't have to sell. This is what
we were
told. But
we went to Blackbird and said, give us an offer for Higham. You've already bid once in the summer.
And they said no.
And said no. And then we've gone to them and said,
so what's changed?
Oh, actually, we do need to sell this player. What can you offer us? And they're going to go, well, we're not going to give you the 3.5 million we offered in the summer.
Yeah.
We're going to give you 1.5.
So what's changed?
Has changed?
But that no one has answered. No one's answered that question. That the update the club put out, they said, we're not paying anything more other than the rent for the pitch improvements. So then it can't be to do with the pitch. It can only be, you know, saying about, I guess, the three match day, you know, revenues, whatever. But to me, that is such a short-sighted thing to do. Like, no one's come out and said, what changed? You know, when you've got the director of football of Blackburn or whatever, yeah, saying that categorically at the start of the summer, it was their approach was met with a clear, he's not for sale.
Absolutely not.
And yeah, you love to hear that. I go, that's great. And we've done that with throughout.
That's showing intent.
Class. And you go, well, that suggests that we don't need to sell. So then why, 4 days before the deadline day, have we gone, oh, yeah. So I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I guess that's when you feel shortchanged as a fan, when you've, and I understand, and I've seen Tynoscope and all these people, and they get hammered, you know, from pillar to post, and I think they do a great job, and they come out and they try and clarify things. I understand that, obviously, you know, costs are going up, but you know, the fans responded to Dave Boddy's plea, right? Yeah. About get your season tickets. Robbins comes out and says, well, Dave Boddy told me that this is going to be the hardest window. But that's not what we got told. You know, I genuinely think fans would appreciate just the honesty. Do you know what I mean? Rather than coming out in the Q&A at the Skyview Tavern when I went, Dave Boddy said, yeah, year on year, budget's going up. So you're thinking, well, okay, well, cool. So that's either in wages, current contracts, or, you know, potentially being able to get Casey Palmer or whatever in. Great. But if you're sending the manager one thing, do you know what I mean? Just come out and tell the fans, say, look, we're going to try, our aim is to keep the squad together. But, you know, it is difficult. We are at the, you know, I think the fans appreciate the honesty rather than sort of, like you say, being led to believe or, you know, maybe assume back wrongly that, oh, you know what, we're going to keep this group together. We've rejected big bids for the big three and we're going to keep them all together and then potentially add one or two. But the high-end thing just feels like so much progress, steps forward, and that's just one big step back again.
Yeah, something definitely changed after that. After the first game was postponed, something definitely changed behind closed doors in regards to what funds were available, where we were going to spend it. Call me a conspiracy theorist, but is this down to the ownership wanting really to save every single penny they've got on the potential of Wasps going bust and them going for the stadium?
Yeah, potentially. But I think it's a very risky game. I think
if
you stand still in the championship, you find yourself in trouble. Look at Barnsley last year. I think the last time we did that, the last time we, you know, 2012, when it was like we went almost thinking, no, we'll be all right sort of thing. And we didn't sign barely anyone apart from Joe Murphy and Cody McDonald. And you try and keep some players and you think, yeah, it will be enough. Even if we just scraped 21st that season, then... But it doesn't happen. You get found out. And our squad is way better than that squad when we went down.
Way better than, you know, six or seven squads in this division as well, currently, by the way.
Yeah, but the problem is at the moment...
Everything's going against us.
And
the off-the-field stuff is definitely creeping into on the field now.
Oh, 100%. Listen, if we hadn't thrown away the 2-0 lead against Millwall, if we'd won that game... we'd be on 4 points. If we got a point against Hull, we'd be on five. And if we were going into the Preston game on 5 points, level with Birmingham, with three games in hand, it wouldn't be anywhere near as panicky. Because you'd be, actually, if anything, it'd be the opposite. Because you'd be going, win today, we go above Birmingham, and we've got three games in hand. And you actually think, actually, we can use this to really push on and look upwards. Whereas at the moment, we're looking upwards, but in a thing of, oh God, this gap, 7 points now to Cardiff, you know. And we've got the games in hand, but we're not playing them for ages. You know, one of them's not until the new year. So, I mean, we need to start picking up points here and now. And I think the performance levels need to be better. I don't think we've not carried on where we left off. You know, that Stoke game was a really good performance to finish the season. And I just don't think we've clicked yet. So it's frustrating.
Without a doubt, the more games we would have played at this point would have given us a better chance to get results. And that exuberates then around the whole club and the sort of off the field shambles as it would be. Doesn't feel as bad, really. That's the talking point. But because everything's happening at once, it all feels very, very doom and gloom. And it's sort of snowballing out of control a little bit. And, you know, the fans are turning on each other on Twitter. And it's just getting very argumentative and bitty. And it's just not a very nice place to be and to support at the moment. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, we haven't become a bad team over the summer. You know, far from it. I think we've had some really good periods so far in these games to show that there is something about us, but we're just not showing it enough. Everything just feels negative for me. Yeah. And I just don't like it at the moment. And once we get the first win, that'll all change. And
yeah,
you know,
we need something to lift us, don't we? I mean, I think the whole thing is everyone just feels quite deflated, right? And preseason is preseason, but we were unbeaten. There was a lot of optimism. We went to Sunderland. We were the team most likely to win it, you know, in the second half. And actually, you take the point and you go, you know what? Great goal from Vic. You're thinking, happy days. Then you think, okay, cool. Rotherham at home. Let's get a win in front of the crowd. 4 points. And then the season's off and running. Obviously, then the whole pitch debacle has just quashed so much people's excitement. And then as a result, we've not played. And then when we next play, you're even more desperate to get the win because you think, well, we need to make up for the games that we've lost, you know, due to the pitch. But then we lose that next game from being 2-0 up. And then suddenly you're like, now we need to win again. And the problem is we've left ourselves in a position now where we do need to get like back-to-back wins or 3 wins on the spin. We never won 3 games on the spin last year. And that was with our team. Yeah, we did back-to-back. Our best run was 3 wins out of 4. With a draw, you know, in the middle. So, you know, but that's what we need to do, you know. And regardless, what we played 5 games, 1 point from 5. Regardless of the games we've missed, 1 point from 5 isn't good enough. And you know, look, Norwich was always going to be a tough game, but the next 3, we need to get points. We really do, because otherwise it would just fester. Imagine going to the international break. Winless.
That's not, I mean, it's very likely we're going to be in the bottom 3 or even bottom, you know, as we head into that international break. And nobody would have thought we'd be in that position, but that's the situation we're in. We're in a little bit of adversity. It's going to take a mighty effort to get us out of it.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We should talk about Norwich because I think there's some real big talking points on this game. Again, 4 changes, Dabo, Hamer, Palmer and Walker brought into the side. Contentious, wasn't it? Especially that forward line. No Godden, no Vic. Walker brought in for his first start of the season. Has only made a couple of substitute appearances so far. I can see in your face now that you're probably still annoyed about that lineup, especially away from home. You play your strongest team against one of the strongest opponents. Well, that's the thinking, right?
I thought, you know, again, the Preston lineup surprised me, but then I hear Robbins's, you know, quotes after, and you think, okay, well, that will then be reflected in the Norwich lineup because we had this big trip up to Norfolk, so that's why we made 4 changes to midweek. So then you're thinking, well, all right, then we're going to have more of what is our strongest lineup against Norwich, and then that doesn't happen, and I feel sorry for Walker, you know, because he gets put in the graveyard shift time and time and time again, like. I do feel for him, to be fair. It reminds me, this lineup, of that really bonkers lineup when we played Norwich, you know, in the COVID year.
Yeah.
And he was basically resting all the players because we had Derby and that was the game he was prioritising the Tuesday after. And we had like Bakayoko leading the Lioners or something. This lineup to
did
me...
Did we sneak a draw there?
Yeah, we did. Biamu came on and scored. Yeah. That was when Jabello took the heaviest touch. I think it's still going now.
I think Kastner Sly is trying to catch up with it, isn't
still.
It?
but no, the lineup, again, this is the problem. So, you know, I wasn't that high hopes. And I see the lineup and I try and be positive, but I just couldn't see anything other than this has just got a 3-0, 3 or 4 predictable defeat all over it, you know.
But we'd all said it's such a cob thing to do to go to Norwich after playing so badly in the week. Well, not badly, but, you know, poor result. And go there and get something from that game. To do that, you've got to play your strongest team. And unfortunately, Tyler Walker offering it on his own just doesn't cut it for me.
No, like I say, it's a tough gig. And my always thing is with us, and this goes into last year, I don't think we are a team who ever win or grind a result out when playing like a streetwise sort of game plan of we're going to be tight. Conceding after 14 minutes, that isn't being tight. You know, that's the sort of thing that Preston would do. They'd go, everyone would know the roles, and they'd time waste from the start. We don't do that.
Yeah,
we're way too nice.
Yeah.
The only way we were, in my mind, look, Robbins knows more than me, but the only way in my mind the only way I thought we might get results or have a chance was to like just go at them like we did at Fulham. Fulham
shit
away at, last year.
Either shit out it or play out of our skin.
But like I say, I'm not sure we can shit house our way to it. I really don't. I think we have to play really well. And if we do, then we're capable of winning. Fulham away last year, it was open game. They had chances, but we were, I don't know. I think if we try and be safe and clever, something comes unstuck.
Yeah,
there's a mistake.
Fires, yeah.
You know, and then before, then you go, well, now what? Where do we go from here?
I'm glad you brought that Fulham. Can I just say something? I'm glad you brought that Fulham game into it, because of that 17-man squad that was there that day, only two of those players are not with the squad anymore, Matson and Higham.
Yeah. So like, yeah.
We haven't become a bad team. People calling us a bad team. You know, we were raving at how good we were against Fulham last year. And that's the way and the standards that we should set. And we just haven't hit those standards as of yet. And that might be due to the lack of games and, you know, confidence. That's be all and end all of it.
I was just thinking, you're right. You know, the personnel, you know, from that, you know, like I say, that team isn't, you know, like there's seven different players and stuff. It's, you know, the nucleus is there. And that's why we were all like buzzing that we've, you know, kept hold of the big three. But like you say, it is the lack of games, but we can't keep spinning that excuse. I mean, I am done with hearing about, well, we're trying to find, we need to get up to speed. Well, yeah, we need to. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, come on, you know, because I remember last year we played, if we ever play someone who's had more rest than us, Robbins is quick to point out that, well, Norwich had
an extra day
rest.
Yeah.
We had an extra week. You'd think we'd be like, well, you know, these other games. You'd think that we'd be like super sort of
bang
sharp, fit, not tired in the slightest.
Yeah.
Because all those things are sort of, they sort of great on me a little bit. But look, it was as soon as I saw the lineup, you had your doubts, didn't you? Because, and obviously individuals at the moment, the other thing that's costing us is players aren't performing to the standards that they set themselves last year. Hamer, mistake.
First goal, yeah. Trying to turn inside the middle of the park as well.
It reminded me of
pressure.
Hamer from year one, you know, like behind, you know, when we were
what,
like,
when he was like 7 years old or with us.
year one with us. You know, when we were losing to like Brentford and stuff and being really passive and almost just easy to beat or easy to score against. I don't think teams at the moment are having to work hard to score against us. And that needs to change. No clean sheet yet this season. I just don't know what we do. I don't know what the answer is.
It's not looking good, fam, is it? It's not looking good. All these things are adding up.
What's the answer? Like, what is the... I feel like... Do you know what the word that someone said to me, and I thought it was bang on? Like you said, we've not become a bad team. But I just think everything feels quite stale. Yeah. Everything feels like... Everything's just a bit flat, and we need something to ignite that energy, that spark. Now, maybe that's Callum O'Hare, but again, he's still going to be out for a while. We need something.
Maybe it's a formation change. Maybe it's bringing someone up from the under-23 into, you know, a Russ, for example. Something that's a little bit different.
I would look back at, you know, since Robbins came back, and whenever we were in a similar position to this in terms of the results sort of not quite there, something's changed. And it was in the League One winning season, it was when we changed to the formation. We went from 4-3-3 and we went to a back five because the 4-3-3 was becoming stale. It wasn't working. So we changed it and we never looked back. I sort of just wonder, whether we do need to just go back to basics a bit. I think we try and score the perfect goal, but when we're not, and we're just, I don't know, just too easy to play against.
It makes sense about the formation change because we know Bidwell isn't a left wing back. And to be fair, Dabo has not found his feet at right wing back in this championship over the last 2 years. I don't think it's been, you know, the League One Dabo, especially that second half of the season that we saw in that year. So maybe there is a call that our best way of doing it is playing with four at the back and having an extra man in midfield. You know, it certainly feels that way to maybe get a bit more control that we kind of need, especially without O'Hare. If he's integral to playing with the wing backs, because he's the one that invites the pressure and lets everyone else get forward up the pitch. So, you know, maybe that is the spark that's needed. But Mark Robbins made comments yesterday saying that if we'd played four at the back, we would have been passed from pillar to post. I don't think that is the case at all. You just stay solid. You don't just tell your wing backs not to move. Let's have control of the middle of the park and we'll go from there. It's not rocket science. I sometimes think he contradicts himself with the things he says. And I think yesterday was prime example of that.
The whole subs then selection thing to me is just one. It just doesn't add up. Like, I agree that I feel like things are being said and I'm like, there's no way, there's in my mind, no way. And I know he's not played well this season, but if you're playing one up top, we've only got one striker who should be playing up top, and Gyökeres should be leading the line. You know, that's his thing. Strong, powerful. Yeah.
Getting the ball, taking the ball out wide, bringing players out there, leaving gaps for everyone else to get into.
But I mean, like Palmer, you know, by the sounds of it, was it?
Yeah. Palmer, that decision to take him off at half time yesterday was absolutely ludicrous. Ludicrous. I'm not talking about the rapper here. It was just an absolute dog decision to take him off the pitch. He was the only one I thought had a little bit of control, and it was showing a bit. You know, him and Walker, they did link up and they were showing signs of, you know, things were going to happen. And Walker had that, you know, pop shot early after conceding, which, you know, on another day sails into the top corner. So it's, I just don't get some of the thinking behind things. Now, does he think Palmer's not going to last a whole 90 minutes? Okay, maybe not. Fair enough. But to take him off at half time? Odd decision.
This is what I mean. So I just come back to it. On one hand, it's about we're wanting to get momentum. So then he's dropped from midweek, so he didn't start. So he comes on. Then he starts and he plays half. Either players need to be playing, right? Because we're behind. So surely you want the same team finding a rhythm, playing pretty much every game.
So it's like he's just throwing shit at the wall and just hoping something will stick eventually.
And that's why I feel like at the moment, that's what's the alarming thing to me, is it feels like
we don't know what we're doing.
But yeah, like these last two selections, it feels like, yeah, we don't really know
how to approach it or how to do it.
What's
going to
work. Yeah. So we're sort of just hoping that we stumble across a formula that just goes, oh my God, it clicks, and that, and suddenly that solves all our problems. And that's concerning, because surely you're thinking, well, you know, and Robbins isn't daft. You know, he 99% of the time he comes out and literally he will say exactly what we've seen. And I go, well, yeah, but some of the stuff, I don't know, just the vibe.
Recently,
the vibe
seems off.
And I don't know. I mean,
is that because it's the first bit of adversity that we've had under Robbins really since he returned back to the club?
Probably, yeah. It's the first time we've stepped backwards, isn't
it? That sort of prolonged adversity, I would say, like, it's everything seems to be going against us over the last 2 months.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, the off-the-field stuff doesn't help. And you remember that year we got promoted from League 2 back to League 1, and we started actually that League 1 campaign pretty poor. Do you know what I mean? Like, rubbish.
And the League 2 campaign pretty poorly as well, if I remember. There was people on the pitch.
Yeah, and then that League 1, we were playing really poorly. And then suddenly, it just clicked. We won 5 games in a row. And we went all the way up. That's what like put us then just outside that playoff picture for the rest of the season. Now, I agree. Like, it was nice on Wednesday actually being back and seeing it live. I feel like when you see things happen, you can sort of understand why it happened.
Bit more,
I think sometimes when you're just following it on Twitter and it does my head in.
It's a bit clouded judgment when you're there, because you only see that one angle, right?
So when you're there live, you can go, well, you know what? Actually,
this happened.
Preston are not a better team than us. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're feeling a bit sorry for ourselves. That's what I think. I think the players look like they're feeling sorry for themselves. We're all a bit looking a bit tired and a bit sort of sad and down, but that needs to stop. You know what I mean? Robin's saying the fans need to, you know, cut out the frustrations. Well, yeah, okay, fine. But the players need to cut out the sort of, oh, the sort of like morose. It feels very morose, the club at the moment, and we need something just to spark, to score a goal.
That is a big word for you.
Morose, yeah, that's a good one.
Not morosey.
He was there, though. He was at the near me at the Preston game. Him, Tom Bayliss and John Shipley were all near me watching Coventry Preston.
What, in the North Stand?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Undercover?
Yeah, yeah.
Or are they part of your guests?
No, no.
Or maybe maybe their box had been closed down like everyone else's box as well.
Probably. But
by the way, can we just talk about that? That is an absolute shambles.
Yeah, yeah.
Behind the box situation. How can you tell people a week before the game, oh, sorry, this box you paid absolutely out your arsehole for is not available for this game, and you're going to have to sort yourselves out?
Especially when the club said, yeah, we were made aware of this on, you know, ages ago. Yeah. Sort of thing.
So it's the whole sort of, oh yeah, if you want to go, you have to go and get yourself a ticket. We'll refund you pro rata. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
All you have to do there is say, if you want tickets, please call blah blah blah. The tickets will be arranged for you. And as a gesture of goodwill, here's a free drink for the game. Instead, they've just gone, you know what? You know, sort yourselves out. We don't care, really. We'll get you a refund when we can. Supposedly, they didn't say you had to get down to the CBS within a 2-hour period for a refund, like they did with the tickets. It's an absolute disgrace. It's a shambles. This is what I mean. Everything seems to be just going wrong. Everything. Like, that is day-to-day running a business, looking after clients, looking after your customers. The basic thing you could do is try and help them out, especially when they're spending the amount of money they are on those boxes. It's a disgrace, an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I just don't get it. Like, and I laugh about it, really, but I'm laughing in pain because of how stupid the whole situation is. Everything just feels shambolic. The way the whole situation has been handled with the pitch, the boxes, you know, people moaning about the kits, the new shop has got hardly any stock in. No one knows if there's going to be any more stock of the keeper away kit. Oh, the transfer window. Finances. Oh, Ross, you know what? I'm done, mate.
You're done.
I am
Thank
done.
You for listening to Scarlet's Extra.
That's it.
I thought the pitch looked remarkably good.
But yeah, talk about the pitch in a second. I just need to add something here. They had the audacity to add in a bit about the new stadium as well. If you believe there's a new stadium happening, ladies and gentlemen, I've got some magic beans to sell you at a low cost price. That is just taking the absolute piss out of every fan by chucking a little bit of blurb about that in that update. Honestly, it's a shambles from top to bottom at the moment, and I just don't know. When will it end? When will it end, Robbie? Where will it end?
I agree, but I sort of, you know, I listen to all that and I sort of think, but like, why? Like, why has it gone from, and how's it gone from everything feeling like a real well-oiled machine, you know, to great PR, the club being incredibly understanding, all these things, you know, going above and beyond, it felt, with you know, with different things. And I sort of thought, wow, you know what? Actually, the club are really putting time and effort into the kits, everything. And yeah, and then that's why that's been a huge reason for the success. And then I sort of go, and I thought about this after the Preston game, maybe this pitch thing's just a sideshow. Like, maybe this happening at this time has sort of, like, maybe that sort of papering over, do you know what I mean, these other fundamental issues? Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, I can't see why everything, the whole football operations of the club would just fall apart because Commonwealth Games had pitch. You know what I mean? The pitch, the football side, I get it. That's been affected. But why their communication and why all that falls apart as well because of the pitch thing, I don't know. So it just feels like, I don't know. And this is the problem. We feel in a rut, and I don't know how we get out of it. I really don't.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Right, should we? I want to start to kind of wrap this up because I feel like we're just ranting and hopefully our fortunes will change when we're on the pod next Sunday. But let's talk about West Brom on Saturday. Currently lying in 16th position, West Brom. Just a one win so far from their eight games. They're on a three-game draw streak, having drew six of their games this season and only scored 12 goals. What's your thoughts ahead of this game, Ross? We've talked about the potential squad, the formation, but things have to change, don't they, for us to get a result against, you know, what's probably a very, very good on paper West Bromwich side.
Yeah, I think on paper there, I said this to you in our season preview pod when we were at the tavern, their biggest issue is their manager. You know, if they got rid of him, that their John Swift and Jed Wallace in the same team, they've got a great threats all around. They've signed that Thomas Asante from Salford, really like him. I think he's a good young player. It's going to be a tough game. We don't have a great record against West Brom. When I think of us playing West Brom at home, I just think of Mr. get sent off, losing 4-5-0 every game. Last year we lost as well.
A couple of fives for West Brom in those games as well.
But, you know, it's West Midlands derby. I think this is the sort of game which, if we ground out a win, if we got a 1-0 win or a 2-1 win and we got the 3 points, that could be a kickstarter.
It's a catalyst, I find. Yeah,
because then you go, you know what? Bring it on, Luton and Birmingham. And then if you could get another 3 points from those two, then suddenly you go into an international break in a completely different mindset.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, cool. We're still bottom, but you know what? We're only 2 points or 3 points off Cardiff, whatever it might be, or whoever's there. And we've got these three games still. Let's go. Come on. And we've got that winning feeling. I think that's the thing at the moment. We listen, I don't care if it comes off Fads' ass and goes in. We're at that point where I want us to be defensively solid. I think if we keep a clean sheet, I think we can win the game. Because I know we didn't score against Preston or Norwich, but we should have. Don't know why that was disallowed. But if we keep a clean sheet, I back us to score. I do think we're capable. That's not our problem, the scoring. Like, I think we'll score a lot more goals than quite a lot of other, you know, poor teams in the league. It's, can we keep them out? And so far, we've the answer is no. So it's going to be a tough game, mate. I just want us to start on the front foot, you know, give the fans a reason to suddenly get, you know, supportive. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. It feels like this is the game where we just need to shit ass our way to a scrappy win. 1-0, 2-1, whatever it takes, bodies on the line. Kind of situation, you know, but you know, it's just one of those games, and it could be the type of game where it might open it up to be that way, because, you know, West Brom aren't in the greatest of form, they're not really playing the way they should be, their fans are getting on their backs, they've lost a couple of games this season where, you know, they've drew a couple of games this season where they should have really won. And the fans are behind, getting on their backs because they should have won. So maybe this is the opportunity for us to do it. And my God, we bloody well need it. And then, let's say we do win and Huddersfield have lost. Then we're above them. I think because we're on the bottom of the table, things are different if we're off that point. It's just, it's not a nice place to be, actually rock bottom. Being in a relegation zone, I don't think that makes a much difference, but being bottom, I think it's just negative connotations of that position. And I think if we get, once we get ourselves off that position, we'll be fine. Like, I have no qualms about what's going to happen over this year. I don't, like, for me, talk of relegation, stupidly premature. It's 41 games to go. We've got way too good of quality to go down, but you have to show that quality, and at the moment we're not showing that. And if we can start doing that on Saturday, it's just a catalyst to move on from that point. And I think that's the perfect game to do so.
Yeah, and obviously for all the fans who go to the game, we're having another fans forum at the Sky Blue Tavern afterwards, which the first one was a great success, I thought, Dino. So, you know, any fans who want to be able to engage in a friendly, respectful sort of debate, discussion about the good, the bad, the ugly from the game, the lack of subs, whatever it might be, then, you know, get yourselves down to the Sky Blue Tavern. It'll be about, I think, half six. There'll be promotion leading up to it with, obviously, the Sky Blue Fans TV as well. For everyone to get a curry, get a beer.
The perfect place for Saturday night curry as well.
Yeah, and I think everyone who came, no matter what your opinion is, it's a space where, you know, everyone's respected and everyone can have their view.
You can feel heard. Yeah,
you can feel heard. Whatever you want to say, there's like, the first one went down so well. It was great to see people who want to, even if you just want to come and listen. And then if you feel compelled that you want to say something, then you can. You I mean, everyone's welcome, and you know, hopefully it'd be nice to do it after a win. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed indeed. Right, many thanks for listening, everybody, this week, even if it was a bit of a depressing one, but hopefully we managed to bring some different points of view to the forefront. Big thanks, as we just mentioned, to the Sky Blue Tavern for their support. And don't forget the forum on Saturday, and there is a Feast of European Football this week as well. So get yourself down there for a curry and a pint. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, if you want to get yourselves involved with the pod, just use the hashtag SBE Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.